Buddy, isn't God great and greatly to be praised? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Just wanted to talk to you just for a couple minutes about what's going on in the church world today. And I think most of you, if you read the newspapers, are aware of the fact that the church world, if you want to call the denominational world, is in pretty bad shape. There are some things going on that's really, really troubling. it seems to me that for the most part, it's like an identity theft. They have, Satan has just went in and taken from the churches in the United States and just pulled out all the things that are promised in the Scripture. So they have taken, you know, this ID theft thing is a big, big deal in the United States today. And I would say that I read some stories that some of these ID thefts will go on for years. They're setting a little trap. They just get a little more of your information, a little more of your information until when they spring the trap, it really puts you in pretty bad shape. You know, the church seemed to be sleeping when Satan came and stole the school systems. You know, and it seems like the church was kind of stood by while he convinced millions and millions of people that God no longer delivers, that there's no visible manifestation of our God. And when God had taken, when God was taken out of the school system, Satan replaced it with sex education and drugs and weapon training, which they get on a daily basis if they're going there. You know, I don't know, I guess I date myself, Brother Hawk, but when I was in school, all the girls wore dresses. You didn't, there wasn't such a thing as, and I'm, you know, had my 50th reunion, so that tells you a little, but nevertheless, you saw, I've never saw a lady in school, whether it be a teacher or a student, wear dress, slacks. And not only that, they enforced respect. You could not just go up and disrespect your teacher or any person of authority. They had a neat way of taking care of that. They just took you out and paddled you. Of course, that was when we, that's a whole nother story, but, you know, and Satan seems to have taken the sin out of alternate lifestyles, and that's no longer a problem. It's acceptable, and we have a lot of, I picked up USA Today to find, to my horror, that there's 160-some politicians who have come out of the closet, and I don't know where all these closets are at, but they've come out. And the crazy thing is that 20 years ago, only 25% of the people accepted this. And now, interview after interview said it's not a big deal. What they do in their personal life is no bearing on how they could be a politician. So that's very frightening to me. When I see the church, people are flocking towards false prophets. There are occult activities going on all over. The Dalai Lama can come to Madison and fill up the Kohl Center with 17,000 people and get standing ovations and speak literally nothing. You know, I believe in my heart that the world, this world we live in, is so hungry for revival. If they'll go and take on these false doctrines and these things that are being presented to them, tarot cards, astrology, the occult. We have one of the largest Wiccan covens in the United States right here in somewhere, I think it's in Barneveld. If they can flock to that, that tells me there's a tremendous hunger in Dane County for real, true apostolic power. I believe that the community is ripe. I believe it's ready. I believe that they are longing to hear anointed preaching and teaching and singing. I believe, in spite of what they may say, I believe that we are truly living in the last days. And I think that when you hear people talk evil about what we believe and what we teach, that's kind of a good sign. We should be lifting up our hands and thanking God because they're speaking evil about which is good. But if you're a guest up here of ours tonight, I want you to know that this church right here at Calvary, God, we still believe that we are the temple of God. We still believe that there is an experience that can dramatically change your thinking, your life. Everything about you can be turned around. We believe in the signs and wonders that are spoken about in the Bible. I don't want to go to a church that just talks all this, my friends. Oh, I'm getting on that guy again. Just remember, what we have here today is so precious and so beautiful and so powerful. People come in here and they say, I have never, ever felt anything like I'm feeling here at Calvary Gospel Church. That's because they've never been in an apostolic, tongue-talking, blood-washed, holy, rolling church. We had a wedding here Saturday and Friday. I went to the park where they had the little reception, and there was three or four little, real small, real cute little ladies, so nice, and they were so excited. And one grandmother said, you know, I feel something here. There's something different about this couple. Every time I get around them, I feel something. And I said, that's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And she said, hallelujah. Praise God. Spontaneous reaction. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe that every believer is the temple of God. Mark 16 and 15. The Bible tells us, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're here tonight, if you want to be saved, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These are signs that follow a typical apostolic Pentecostal believer. Anybody believe me here? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You know, if you ever had a doubt about whether there was a God or not, this manifestation in the heart of a believer at the point of repentance is the most amazing phenomenon that I think God could have not put anything would have been more amazing to me in an instant. The moment the Spirit of God comes inside of you, you become the temple of God, and you begin to speak in a language that you've never spoken before. Now, how cool is that? And we all have a different language. Somebody says, I don't want that. I want to know what I'm saying. Why? If it's free and it's the visible manifestation, the earnest of our inheritance, my, I'd want it. Praise God. And then in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, and here again, you know, the title of my message is Being the Temple of God. It's knowing, you can know that you're the temple, but to actually be the temple, it's a vastly different thought. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, knowing not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Praise God. You have to think about that, and you have to get this down inside of your heart, because it's easy to speak it. It's a much different scenario for you to get it down where everything you say and everything you do is with the knowledge and understanding that the Spirit that said, let there be light, is dwelling inside of me. I must be about my Father's business. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, This church believes that God has already given us everything we need to get the job he's left us with. Everything we need has already been, it's already been appropriated. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and 3, the Bible tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You cannot receive any more than all. But he's given us every single thing we need to be successful. And he's put it in a book. He's put it in a book so we can page ahead and we can find out where the end of all this is. We can page into what our problem might be and we can pull out some answers to our problem. We can go there and receive from the living God through his living word the response that we're looking for. And we sometimes struggle and struggle and struggle with this problem or problems we might have, and it's already been given us. You know, I really believe in the last couple of years, Calvary Gospel Church is entered into another dimension of faith and growth. I think we've seen more born-again people in the last 5 or 6 years than we've seen in a long, long time, or at least since I've been here. When I first started keeping records in 1995, I think it was, we'd have 30, 60, 30, 65, 70, and so on and so forth. And now, you know, the pastor set a goal for 365 conversions this year alone. And our attendance has grown tremendously. Praise God. We've seen so many miracles here recently. Do you get excited about miracles? You know what this gives me? It gives me hope and belief that those things in the scripture are real. And it gives me ammunition. When I talk to people, I talk to them about what God's doing at Calvary Gospel Church. I love to tell them about the men that were raised from the dead. They're in a dead church and nobody's been raised from the dead there. And the things that have happened here, we can't take these lightly. God's showing us something. He's bringing us up to a different dimension of ministry. I think he's getting this church ready to take on an amazing revival, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be here before you know it. So whatever you're doing now, you're probably going to be doing more of that and even in a greater dimension than you've ever done before. God's going to take us all out of our comfort zone. It can't stay church as usual. It just can't be that way. We can't have the numbers that we need to get with this type of thinking. God's just going to pour out his spirit, and they're going to come day and night. The last revival I read about in Brownsville, Texas, they had 295,000 visitors in somewhere around 2 or 3 years. They had church from 10 in the morning till 10 at night, and then they had to close the doors. And there were so many miracles and signs and wonders, and praise God. I would like to tell you that that revival is still going, but when they stopped praying, that revival fizzled out like all revivals do, praise God, if they're not based upon Scripture and upon prayer, praise God. All the things that happened recently at Calvary Gospel Church with people being delivered from addictions that the world tells you can never be healed from heroin, you can never be healed from alcohol, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Yes, your marriage can never get back together. Ha, ha, ha. Listen to me, my friends. We are serving a God who's able to do above and beyond that which we ask or even think. Praise God. And I think many of the people here at Calvary Gospel Church are feeling a holy boldness come upon them. They're feeling that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. As the time grows shorter and shorter, we need to believe and speak it and talk about the marvelous things that God has been doing. Praise God. Our very own maintenance man, Reverend Dave, recently taught a Bible study last week. One lesson, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's exciting. Don't come to this church looking for directions unless you want to get baptized. And then Christina and Shelley were out, and Christina has a thing on Craigslist. And on that Craigslist is a, would you like a home Bible? Would you like a Bible study? Would you like healing? She has several website, not websites, but ads on there. And people are calling her because they're hungry. They want to know what they need to do to be healed. They want to know what they can do to be saved. They want to know what's going on. How can I be delivered from this nonsense? But at any rate, they met a lady last week, and they met over in a park on the north side of Madison, and she wanted to go in the park because there was so much commotion and chaos in her home. They began teaching the Bible study. God came down and filled her with the Holy Ghost right there. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we've seen all these things coming, and we sometimes, it's almost like it's almost too much. It's a faith overload, and we can somehow be in the eye of a hurricane and not really see the power that we're involved in. And this is what I believe tonight. We need to understand who we are dealing with and what God has for us. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to receive it. If the Holy Ghost comes upon you, may not ever use it. You may never take it past the pages of the Scripture. But when you receive God's Holy Spirit, you received all the power you're ever going to receive. And God wants us desperately to use this power on His behalf. Praise God. Wouldn't you want, if you were God and you had all this power and all this authority and all this ability to heal, to raise people from the dead and open up blind eyes and all the things that we know God can do, restore relationships and all that, and nobody takes advantage of it. Few people take advantage of all the power that God has available. And I don't know, and I'm certainly not implying that I have attained that goal, but I am seeking in my heart to become more like Jesus Christ. I'm seeking in my heart to be able to believe that I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me. And if I can hear His voice, if He gives me instructions, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's easy sometimes to know that you're the temple of God. When you're sitting at a camp meeting in the 1,000 or 1,200 people are praising the Lord and worshiping, it's easy to be the temple of God. When you hear preaching like we did at camp, my goodness, these men are touching angels in heaven. But you know, you can't always be in that atmosphere. You're going to have to come down and get a little of this. You're going to have to understand that these men didn't come there to tickle you. They came there to motivate you to believe that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Praise God. So you leave the camp meeting and you don't feel so powerful, or you leave because of the times, or you leave passing the mantle. All these are wonderful conferences. But you know what? I don't want to be a conference junkie. You know, I don't want to go to the next event. I want to create an event right here. I want to be the event. I want to be the vessel that God chooses. I want to be listening for His voice. Praise God, praise God. You know, the other thing about all this is that when we leave this building tonight, and Brother Conley is so graciously turns off the last light in this building, you go home, you're still the temple of God. The Spirit of God's still dwelling in you. You may have 3 opportunities on the way home to share this gospel with somebody if you understand that you are the temple of God. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning. Oh, you are still the temple of God. And listen, God never intended this gospel to be confined in the walls of a building. And this is the biggest stumbling block I think the church in general has, is that we love being here in the church. We love our pastor. We love the music. We love the fellowship. But this is not where apostolic revival is. True apostolic revival is out in the highways and in the byways. I believe God is moving His church into the streets of Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County. And there are people here today that are feeling something that they've never felt before. God's about to do something. Jesus said in Luke 14:21, "So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.' And the Lord said unto the servant, 'Go out into the highways, hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" We have been given a commandment to compel people. It strongly suggests give them the opportunity to receive what we've received. This isn't a game. This is life and death. This is where this person is going to spend eternity. And it grieves me sometimes. People call me and say, "You know, Brother Thomas, I've decided to go to another church." I said, "Really, what church are you going to?" And they give me the name of a church that doesn't believe in the truth. And I'm thinking, now, what is this about? I said, "Have you ever considered what they believe?" "Well, it doesn't really make any difference." "Huh? But you've been here 5 years and you don't understand that?" My God, help them in Jesus' name. Praise God. The Greek word for church, one of the translations, it's a community of members or saints, whether it be heaven or in earth. They're the called out ones. We have confined our thinking in regards to a church as a building. But you are the church, and I'm the church. And every place I go, I have an opportunity to set up the church. You wouldn't want to hear me sing, and I won't. But listen, I can still have church. When I was in business, I had church. Every place, anybody that would listen to me, Brother O'Neill is a prime example. He has church every place he goes. You know why? Because he understands what this is all about. This is not an optional thing. This could be the last opportunity some of you will ever get to become part of the church. Brother and Sister Russell are such great examples. They witness and they look for... When they go out shopping, listen, they are like chicken hawks swooping over a nest. And Sister Russell, so sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that's what they do. They're going shopping, but they're looking for somebody. They realize that their footsteps are led by the Lord. So when you go shopping, remember, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If we get this into our heart, can you imagine the effect we'd have in this community if we had 500 people who were desperately seeking, not just to find a good deal at COPS, but they were seeking to see if there was somebody in COPS that maybe God put in my path that I could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes part of you. And it becomes part of you when you really, really, really believe that you are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Acts 4:31, it lets us know what the very few times that the Bible talks about being in a church building in the apostolic church. Most of the ministry was out in the streets. But when they did come in to the church, they came to get refueled. They came to plug in again and get some more of that apostolic power. Acts 4:31, the Bible says that when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Praise God. They had the Holy Ghost, but they were refilled with the Holy Ghost. When we come into this place and you hear people encouraging you to worship, there's a reason for that. Brother Russell brought that out. This worship is what God desires from His people. When it comes from your heart, spontaneous worship, don't you love it when somebody gives you a sincere compliment? When they say, "You know that Jason, what a nice guy." Or, you know, whatever someone says a nice thing to you that's sincere, and you know it. But God is asking us to worship him with all of our heart. God is asking us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, we know that's the very first commandment. And the problem is, if you can't come into an atmosphere like this and worship God, can you really say then that you're being obedient to the first commandment? Think about it. How about the second commandment? You got an issue with anybody? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Ooh. Yeah, but this person offended me. Well, you're missing the fact that you are the temple of God. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Unmerited favor comes when you pray and worship the Lord, when you begin to seek God with all of your heart. And I believe this is the key to revival here at Calvary Gospel Church. If we want to take this apostolic power, we've got to take it to the people. One man said, who was a national speaker, said, someone said, well, what do you think of the United Pentecostal Church? He said, you've got some of the best preachers, some of the best teachers, probably the best music in the world. Church music. He said, the major problem with your organization is you preach to yourselves. Hello? Conference after conference after conference after conference. And I'm not saying that's derogatory. I go to conferences occasionally, but more and more I'm thinking, I want to create a conference. I want a testimony. I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, one of these days. The older you get, You realize that there is a time, there's a window here, there's a time frame that you don't think about when you're 25 and 30 and 35. You don't think about it. But next thing you know, you're going to blink your eyes and you'll be 69. Right, Brother Hawk? 66, sorry. But it's true. And if we get in a habit of remembering who we are, can you imagine God trying to get people from the world to someone who is hungry enough to share the gospel, that are not going to and fro, who are not bogged down with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, and they've been prayed up and they're there for a purpose. They're there to seek and save that which is lost. But with as many people as we have, if every one of us won one soul a year, and we taught that one soul to win one soul. Do the math. What would we have in 10 years if we had 5 people, 10 people, 20 people doing that? We couldn't hold, you couldn't build a building fast enough. See, we need to get our eyes off of our own self and looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because God wants to do something with your life. He wants to take you and make you exactly what he had designed you before you even came into this world. Praise God. But so many times we get caught up in the cares of this world and the things that are going on. But I believe we're going to turn the city upside down. I'm serious. I believe with all my heart we've got some people. We have some young people. We have some folks, young and old, who are saying, you know, I cannot do church as usual. I can't sit here year after year and produce no fruit. I have to get this out. I have a burning desire inside of me to do something more than just come to church and pay my tithes. Praise. And we appreciate your tithes, but listen, it's more than that. We are the only resource God has chosen to use to bring people to him. There is no other source. If we set down, God has to set down. He can't do anything outside of the scope of his people because that's what he's ordained. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Acts for a moment. And let's just take a look and see how they did church back and then. What effect did it have when they were out in the highways and in the byways? Acts 3 and 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That in itself would have been an awesome thing to witness. But Acts 3 and 9, the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Not just the church, but all the people. Praise God. Acts 3 and 10, and they knew that it was he that said for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. You got a note here. You got to take a look at this. The whole city was stirred by one healing of a lame man. One man stood up, received his healing, and the whole city knew about it. Do you think it would be any different here if someone gets out of a wheelchair and begins to tell people? The newspapers would be here. The news would go crazy over something like this. People would flock to Calvary Gospel Church because they're searching. If they'll go see the Dalai Lama, they'd certainly come to see Jesus, where there's some real power, some apostolic power. But all the people saw him walking and praising God. It turned that city upside down. I can't wait. I cannot wait until this city. Now, we've come a long, long way. We were at one time, I've been told by Sister Manley, Brother Manley, we were the other side of the track people. We were kind of out there as known as a cult because we believed that you could actually speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And a lot of folks were saying that's of the devil. In fact, I had a guy who was kind of funny. When I first was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, this Baptist, kind of a lay preacher, had been witnessing to me on the job. And I was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. God took all my evil thinking and desires from me. And he began to witness to me on a particular day when I got back. And he said, well, Rich, he said, I think you need to come to my church. I said, it's too late. I said, I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, he says, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not for us today. I said, it's too late. He said, that's of the devil. I said, now, isn't that crazy? I said, here I was addicted to alcohol and tobacco and drugs. And the devil said, you know, this would be a good thing to do. Let's take all that nonsense out of his system. Let's get him thinking different. Let's put Jesus in his heart. Did the devil did that? I had a good time with that. He said, what do you know? You've only been a Christian for a couple of days. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Praise God, praise God. Let's go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Acts 8 and 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hearing and seeing it. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was what? Great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. I said, great joy in that city. Woo! Hallelujah. That is powerful. You gotta put this into perspective. The impact this would have in this city. Years ago, Brother Cunningham went to the Fox Valley and he preached, and a newspaper man came out there and he wrote a 2-page article with the signs and wonders that he physically saw with his eyes, because they put it out as a healing crusade or a miracle crusade. And you know what? When we begin to speak what God's going to do according to his word, praise, when you come up to somebody and you see their lame or they're off or something's going on, why not just say God will get you out of that wheelchair? God will do exactly what he said in his book. Praise God. Kind of quiet, but that's what we should be doing. You know, in the early church, I believe that God used these signs these healings, these deliverances, to, it was like the advertisement, like, you know, in that day was word to mouth. Word, you know, when the upper room, when they came out of the upper room, 120 people are speaking other tongues. Within minutes, 3,000 people are there because it was noised abroad. I don't know how fast they did this, but it must be faster than the internet, because within minutes, there's 3,000 people standing there, and Peter's preaching the first apostolic message. Praise God. Great joy in that city. Praise God. The Bible tells us that we should go and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise God. You know, it really doesn't take a lot of effort to be a good witness. You know, one of the things that we really need to work on is smiling. Smiling. Turn to your neighbor and smile. You don't have to say anything, just smile. I know some of you, this is going to be tough. Think about it. If you have something to share, you think you're going to be able to share it if you don't know how to smile? If you don't know how to greet people, if you don't know how to make yourself presentable. We used to sing that song, smile a while and give your face a rest. That's really truth. See, if you can't smile, then you have a spiritual problem. If you've been baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit, you are then holding on to a root of bitterness, and it's killing you. It's eating you up on the inside. And you cling to it like a spider clings to the web. You ever taken a hose and tried to blow a spider off the web? You can't get him, man. I don't know what he does. He just wraps himself around it. And that's the way some people hold on to negative thinking. But that's another message. Praise God. I would say this to those of you that feel an unction to do it. Smile. Go the extra mile in people's lives. Just don't you like it when people are friendly? When they talk to you and they really don't have to talk to you? When they make an effort to be pleasant? We can do the same thing. We can, every day, we can purpose in our heart to be pleasant, to smile, take the time to find out people's names, greet them by their name when you see them again. Most important word in the English language is your name. When somebody calls your name, you immediately turn. And if when you turn, they're smiling, isn't that nice? Praise God. But being that we are the church, I have to confess, sometimes my church, this church, is not always open. Sometimes the cares of this world have gotten me. And I will walk by opportunities to have the church. If the church is open, I might be able to spread a little gospel. But if things are not going 100%, sometimes, and I in the last couple of years, I've really gotten away from that. But my church is closed. The sign on my church says, sorry, no one's here. It's closed because of the cares of this life. And there's been days when I was like the 10 virgins. I was the 5 foolish virgins. You know, I had not prayed properly. I had not gotten to the point where I was filled with the compassion of God. I had the same mind that Jesus Christ had. I had wandered. It doesn't take 2 weeks or two months to get away from the Lord. Just miss your prayer life a couple of days. What happens? Oh, you can go through the motions, but when that fire, when the pilot light goes out, it's difficult to light it because there's some humility. You have to shed a few tears. You have to get back down on your knees and remember where the gas outlet is and turn it back on and say, hey, Lord, I have not done and said what I need to say. I need you, Lord Jesus Christ. And then some of you I've seen have a sign on your church that says, out to pout. What's the problem? I'm mad. What happened? So-and-so didn't shake my hand. Woo! That's exciting. I'm not coming to church until so-and-so apologizes to me. Not only are you eaten up with the root of bitterness, but then you think God's going to hold us accountable? If he said he'd hold us accountable for every idle word that came out of our mouth, that's bad enough. But there are sins of commission. That's when we do things or say things that are wrong. We get accountable to that, every idle word. And then sins of omission. Those are sins because we didn't take the time to pray to be sensitive enough to do the work and the will of God. And we pass by hungry souls because our life is so important and we're so focused on self that we do not. This never happens to you guys, but it's happened to me. Praise God. Now, some folks close the church. They go on vacation. There's no souls where I'm going. There's nobody hungry for God when I go on vacation. The thing about all of this is this, that when you understand that you're the church, you can have a wonderful vacation and still witness for the Lord. You can have all the cares of this world and still understand that the best way for you to handle stress, the best way for you to handle situations in your life is do the work and the will of God. Keep yourself designed that you can't close the church. Some church signs just say, I just don't care. I'm not interested in you because of your condition or your affiliation or your problem. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe the greatest honor that we can give God is to be instant in season and out of season. When it's easy and when it's difficult. And it takes time. It takes effort. It takes something inside of you needs to break. And you have to have the revelation. You must be willing to reach the lost at any cost. It doesn't mean that you can't have a life. It just means that your life is a lifestyle evangelism. Because you're so happy with what God's done for you and all the things that God's given you. And if you haven't received anything from God, then you need to become the church so you can get in on all the good things that God has for us. Praise God. I believe God's calling Calvary Gospel Church to the poor, to the hungry, the halt, the maimed, and the lame. We've done that over the years. To the naked and those who are in prison. We are his church. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. It's like a safety deposit box. We have one key, Jesus has the other key. If we won't put our key in, he can't open up the box. But if we put our key in, if we are doing his will, he automatically puts his key in. And then whatever you need is in that box. But you have to understand the assignment. This, what's inside the box is everything we need to accomplish what God's called us to do and to be. Praise God. That's the beauty of it. It's there. He's promised. He said, I will meet all of your need according to my riches and glory if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that we have need of are going to follow us. Unless the things that you need of are all temporal, they're all carnal. It's all about you. But what if you're seeking God with all of your heart to become a better witness? To be a better Christian, to be a better neighbor, to be a better member of a Calvary Gospel Church. You think God's going to refuse that? Never, 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 never. There's another thing that we need to understand. Because we've given the authority, you could almost liken it to a power of attorney. God has given his church the authority to conduct business on his behalf. Those of you that have taken on power of attorneys over the years with loved ones and so on, that means you can conduct their business, their financial business, everything about them. You have the authority to conduct his business. We need to understand that Jesus Christ cannot conduct his business unless we are willing to become the power of attorney for the Almighty God. He is the head, and we are the body. if we're not listening to what the head says, we'll be out doing our own thing many times and not be tuned into what the head wants us to do. Thus, we're going to be shipwrecked, or we're not going to be producing those things that God would have us produce. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Colossians 1:18. And I really believe this is the key to your success. If you're ever going to believe that you are the body of Christ and you are the temple of the living God, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So when we minister to people, we need to remember these are his hands. The only hands he has when I'm standing in front of somebody are my hands. My lips, my eyes, my feet, and my heart should be listening for the voice of God. And if I'm listening to the voice of God, I will then go to do the will of God. I will go to those places he tells me to go. Over the years, God's told me to go places, and you know, it took me a couple years before I understood that you have to learn the voice of God. My sheep shall hear my voice. I remember the time when Andrew Cohn was driving down Milwaukee Street, and God said, "Andrew, go to Hector Bakken's house." He said, "I don't even know him." He said, "Today he's going to receive the Holy Ghost." Well, Andrew could have said, "That couldn't be God. I don't even know Hector Bakken." So, in obedience, he turned in, and, well, you know, Andrew was an unusual guy back in those days before he had six and a half kids. They're expecting the seventh, just so you know. Woo-hoo! So Andrew knocks on the porch, and Hector always was on the porch. He said, "Hector, God sent me over for you to receive the Holy Ghost." He says, "Okay." So he prayed with him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Andrew gets back in his car, and away he goes. Yoo-hoo! Praise God. That's the difference. That's what can happen when you are obedient and have been listening to the voice of God. That's what will happen. See, there could be a time when God's going to speak to you about your children, that they're headed for danger, or they're ready to receive the Holy Ghost, or whatever might be the case. You know, and I've told this story 100 times, but it never grows old in my heart. God spoke to me 10 days before my mother died and said, "You need to go over there and bring Felix Crowder because your mother's going to receive the Holy Ghost." And I'm thinking, oh my, this is bizarre. This is not going to work, you know. And I thought, wait a minute, who am I to say this isn't God? What have you got to lose when God speaks to you? Listen, the devil doesn't ask you to go over and pray for people that are dying. The devil doesn't go over to your house and try to get you stirred up to do good. Why couldn't it be God? Why not just be obedient? Why not boldly come to the throne room and say, "If that's what it has to be, I'm ready to go. Thank you, Jesus." But anyway, my mom received the Holy Ghost 10 days before she died, baptized her in Jesus' name. She is living happily ever after. Woo! Praise God, praise God. When you obey the voice of God, you have to be listening for it. If my sheep will hear my voice, you have to be listening to the voice of God. And don't let these other voices keep you from obeying the voice of God. Someone said to me recently, "How do you know it's the voice of God?" Well, the Bible says first it's going to be pure, it's going to be peaceable, it's going to be easy to be intrigued, easy to understand. Now, he's not going to tell you, say things to you that are without the realm of your thinking. He's going to make it quite simple for you. Go here, turn there, stop here, speak to this person, pray for that guy. It's not a rocket science thing. God has a plan for each and every one of us. So tomorrow, you know, the only way you can fail in this is if you don't try. The only time you can fail is when you don't try. Years and years and years ago, before I understood any of this, God was trying to get me to go across the street and witness to a guy that was dying of cancer. And for some reason, I just didn't know enough scripture, and he was a different denomination, and we tried to talk to him before, and I just didn't do it. And the man died. But about a week after he died, I had a dream. And in that dream, there was this man sitting on this porch. And he spoke to me and he said, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" I'm not going to say he's in heaven, I'm not saying he's in hell, but what was the big deal about me just talking to him? It was because I was afraid. I didn't do it. And from that point on, I made a point. This would be the last time this guy is going to, if even remotely think it's God, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm going to go wherever he tells me to go. I told you the story before, but about 12, 13 years ago, I was in the prayer room and was over there on the other side, and I was up witnessing to a guy for about a week because a supplier of mine wanted me to minister to him. At any rate, I was just getting ready to go into service, and God spoke to me. He said, "Go up and pray for Burns." I said, "I can't. Church time." He said, "You go up and pray for Burns." So I thought, wait a minute, I'm right here at church. I went and told Pastor Grant, I said, "I really feel God wants me to go up to pray for this guy." He said, if you feel God wants you to go, go. So I went up there feeling really foolish. I got there and he was in his bed, his eyes were rolled back, and it looked like he was dying. So I said, Burns, are you okay? He said, "No, I'm dying." I said, "Who told you that?" "I overheard the nurse say I wasn't going to make it." I said, "Well, just so you know, God sent me to tell you that you were not going to die." And I prayed, and he sat up in the bed. He got 4 more months of life. But I believe in my heart, if I had just said, you know, that couldn't be God. He never calls people out of these vibrant prayer meetings. You could stand with me at this time. You know, we are on the brink, I think, of one of the most exciting revivals that this church has ever known. We have some awesome young people here at Calvary Gospel Church. Not just the youth, but we have some people who are in leadership, the Hyphen Ministry and the youth, and the way they've restructured this, I'm really believing that this is going to promote revival like it never has before. So I want you to just pray with me tonight that we would all understand that we are the temple of God. And see tomorrow as you go on your way that you could say this one simple prayer: God, would you lead me to one hungry soul? Would you lead me to one person I can pray with? Perhaps this man or woman could be healed. That I am the temple. Listen, I've been in business. I understand what it is to be really busy. But you know what? Don't be so busy that you can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you're the only church that God has in your area. You may, the people that I've won to the Lord, most of them I had no earthly idea. They showed no signs of being spiritually hungry. They had no signs that I thought that manifest, but most of them came to me and began talking. But you know, you're here tonight. Perhaps tomorrow will be the first day of your new outlook in life. You know, when you get involved in the work of God, isn't it amazing how things just kind of go your way? When you start praying and worshiping God, paying your tithes, there's dimensions of God's blessings. You can receive these blessings here when you attend church and read your Bible and pay your tithes. But God's got other things for you. He's got things that you can't even fathom what he's got in store for you. And you'll never receive them unless you seek after God, unless you understand. If you can get these little things taken care of, these little chance encounters with people, and begin to become an effective witness, you watch what God will do with the rest of your life. Lift up your hands, if you would, and pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking, God, that you talk to the hearts and minds of the folks in this auditorium tonight, Lord. We have so many precious people here, Lord, that we could have a revival that would exceed anything we've ever had before. If we could get 50 people to commit to become the temple of God, not just on good days, but every day, instant in season and out of season. Lord, I'm asking that you'd pour out an anointing upon these folks tonight, that you would send them, Lord, hungry people. God, you're able to do this because it is your perfect will that not one of these precious people should be lost. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you have never given your heart to God, I'm asking that you come up here. If you're here tonight and you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. You know, some people receive the Holy Ghost and they haven't spoken in tongues since the time they received it. But they kind of hide behind the experience they had a long time ago. Perhaps you're here tonight, you just want to make a commitment to be the temple of God. Whatever it might be, please find a place to pray, would you?